I don't care what you say, Bernard. That cuckoo clock's going back.
Just the three of us doing a show and getting it right on the night.
I'm Robin and I'm handsome.
And I'm Morris and I'm tall.
I'm Graham, I'm ugly, I'm short and I'm fat and I'm bald as a billiard ball.
Where's the grumbleweeds?
Now then, you English pig! We have ways of loosening tongues, yeah. If you do not confess, we shall have to use more unusual methods. What do you say, English swine?
Yes, okay, I confess. It was me who took your towel off your sun lounger.
There's the three of us going on stage, open the studio's packed. See the three of us acting our age.
That's Graham, he's aging, all right. Of all the gin joints and all of the places in all of the world, and she had to come into mine.
You ain't your Meals on Wheels, Ellie Perkins, or not?
My hair's red as copper.
My hair's grey as sink.
My hair has all fallen out ages ago, but my head's a lovely pink.
Where the doctor is?
Go ahead, punk, make my day. You know, in all the excitement, I kind of forgot whether I fired five shots or six. You feel lucky, punk.
I don't care how many films you've made, Mr. Eastwood. You've got to knock over six ducks to win a balloon.
There's a couple of weeks, running along, waiting for laughs to the end. Just the three of us, doing the voices, in the wrong place now and then.
Can I help you, pal?
Yes, I'd like a copy of the Kama Sutra and sexual deviance through the ages, please.
Oh, yeah. Is that how you get your kicks, pal?
No, it's how I stop my kitchen table leg wobbling.
Good things coming free. I've heard that as a lad.
I'm Robin.
I'm Morris.
He's Graham.
Well, two out of three is not bad.
Trio, everyone needs. Have an hour with someone and the grumble.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, ladles and jelly spoons. And a warm welcome to our humble little show.
Every flipping week he says that. It's beginning to get right up my nose, pal.
He's only trying to be friendly, Uncle Nasty.
Well, it irritates me.
Oh, you're in a right mood today, ain't you, Geoffrey?
He is earnest.
And you too irritate me as well. Everybody irritates me. I'm sick and fed up of mixing with idiots.
Well, stay with us then.
Exactly.
I mean you barn pots. You're brainless, the lot of you. Change the subject for crying out loud.
How are you work like in your new job then, Ernest?
Oh, you're joking. Not giving him me notice.
Oh, dear. You didn't last long as a bouncer then.
Oh. That was awful. Someone hit me.
They did. Someone hit him.
Yes.
So as soon as he stopped bouncing, he packed his face.
You obviously met your match.
Well, there's always one bully in a pack, Uncle Nasty.
Football hooligans, were they?
No, brownies. Hey, I knew there was something I had to tell you.
What's that, rat face?
I've got a Polaroid.
Oh, you poor devil. You must be in agony, mustn't you, Ernie?
He must, Geoffrey.
My Uncle Herbert had one of them. He had to sell his bike. These two great lumps came up behind his ears. You know, it was a week before he could get his balaclava helmet on.
He said he'd got a Polaroid.
Have you tried swallowing a bunch of keys?
I don't believe this.
My Uncle Herbert went to the appliance shop in the end.
Oh, we once went to the appliance shop, didn't we, Geoffrey?
We did, Ernest, and I've never been so embarrassed in all my life.
Nor have I, no.
He didn't have the bag to put it in, did he? So he had to carry it home on the bus.
Do you remember that woman asking us what it was?
I do. You told her it for your run of beans.
That is it. I am taking the dog for a walk.
We haven't got a dog.
I'll borrow one. Hello? What's that noise?
What noise?
That noise. It sounds like an electric guitar.
Oh. Does it?
If there's one thing I can't stand, it's electric guitars. I hate them. And the long-haired hooligans who play them.
Oh. Oh. Oh, dear.
So what's that noise?
It's the plumbing.
Since when did we have musical plumbing?
I must say, old gaffer, it does sound like a guitar.
Stopcock. Yes, it does sound like a stopcock, doesn't it? Yes. Yes, it has that twangy ring to it that stopcocks have.
It's this week's rotten guest, isn't it?
It might be.
He's a rotten guitarist, isn't he?
He might be.
Is he or isn't he?
Well, put it this way. Really, he's a plumber and central heating engineer. But he might have found a guitar on the bus on the way here.
Let the Wally in.
Oh, no, it's not Wally. It's Bert.
Hello, boys. It's great to be here.
It's Bert Whedon. Oh, lovely to see you, Bert, and welcome to our humble little show.
Don't start that again.
It's great to meet you, and how fortunate that you found a guitar on the bus on the way here.
I've had this guitar over 20...
minutes, yes, 20 minutes, yes.
Look, Breeden.
Whedon.
You don't fool me, I recognise you. I once saw you on top of the Pops.
Oh, absolutely right.
Yeah, mind you do look a bit different in colour.
Now, look, lads, I hope we're not going to get the usual insults.
Oh, well, I certainly wouldn't insult you, Gert.
But...
No, we wouldn't. Me and Ernest have been fans of yours for now for over, 14...
minutes.
Yes. You know, Bert, my Uncle Herbert once bought your book, Playing a Day.
Oh, that's marvellous.
What's all this about, Breeden?
Whedon.
What's this Playing a Day rubbish?
It's not rubbish. I guarantee that if you buy a guitar in the morning and read my book, you'll be able to play a simple tune by the end of the day.
Brilliant.
Garbage.
I'm sorry, I guarantee it. Well, ask Uncle Rubbish. After reading my Playing a Day book, Uncle Rubbish, how long did it take your Uncle Herbert to master a simple tune?
12 years.
12 years?
Yes.
That doesn't sound right. Maybe there was something wrong with his guitar.
It had nothing to do with the guitar.
Why?
Because he bought a trombone.
Well, I mean, you can't expect me to teach someone the trombone. I know nothing about the trombone.
Neither did my Uncle Herbert. Spent the first 3 years trying to play it under his chin.
Jeffrey.
I did, Ernest.
He spent the first 3 years of trombone under his chest.
I know, just isn't it?
Everybody knows you bang it with a stick.
Yeah.
All right then, Whedon.
Breeden. I mean, Whedon.
All right then, Whedon. If you're so flipping good, teach me to play in a day.
Well, do we have the time?
Your time is our time, Bertie, old lad.
Right. Take this guitar, Uncle Nasty, and listen carefully to what I have to say. Now, these little divisions are called frets, and I want you to put your third finger of your left hand on the third fret. Oh, dear, it doesn't normally take 22 hours to teach a simple tune.
Looks like you've met your match, Bertie.
Well, I must admit I've never had a pupil like this one, but I can't believe that he can't play something.
Right, come on, Uncle Master. You've had the most expert teacher in the business all day long. Show us what you can do.
And try to remember everything that I've told you.
Right. Here it goes.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I've never heard anything like it. Oh, you must be very proud.
Well, I'm not as happy as you obviously are.
What are you talking about? I was brilliant.
Yeah, there was one thing which he was doing wrong.
What was that, Bert?
He was holding it a bit too tight under his chin.
Unforgettable. That's what you are.
Yes, and once again, that music tells us it's time to meet our forgetful friends, the Amnesias. This week, Mr. and Mrs. Amnesia are reminiscing about the theatre.
What was the name of that play we saw at the Royal
Shake-a-Leg.
Do you remember the
Shake, Rattle and Roll?
Forget it, dear.
I have done, dear.
It was named after William,
William the Conqueror, dear, was it?
No, he wrote plays.
I didn't know William the Conqueror wrote plays, dear.
It was called The Merchant of the... Oh, dear. It's ever so well known. The Merchant of...
Manchester.
No, dear. The Merchant of... It's full of canals.
So is Manchester, dear.
This is so annoying. The Merchant of the... Oh, there's water everywhere.
Well, that's definitely Manchester, dear.
Venice!
Ah! Venice! Yes,
yes, the Merchant of Venice.
Yes, yes.
You must remember it, dear. Yeah. Shylock. Hmm? He wanted a pound of...
Sprouts.
Oh, dear. He was quite a well-built man, as I remember, yes. He reminded me of the man we saw at the pictures.
Oh, the vicar?
No, not the vicar.
We saw the vicar in the pictures. Yes, he was on the back row with the cub mistress.
This man was on the screen.
Oh, was he?
He was the star. Oh. Yes, he was wearing just a loincloth.
The vicar was wearing a loincloth.
Well, he might have been, I suppose, yes. Oh. Under his cassock.
Oh, well, we'll ask the cub mistress, shall we?
He swung through the trees, shouting at the top of his voice. Ooh!
Does the vicar's wife know, dear?
Know what, dear?
That her husband swings through the trees, shouting.
No, dear. Look, how did the vicar get into this in the first place? He
probably bought a ticket in the usherette or it didn't
Tarzan! Tarzan, very muscular.
No, she was a fat lady with a torch, was the usherette.
Why are we talking about the usherette at the cinema, dear?
Because you said she was wearing a loincloth.
That was Tarzan.
I didn't know Tarzan was an usherette, dear. Well, why are we talking about him then?
Because he was sitting in the back row with the cup mistress.
I thought that was the vicar.
Don't be silly, dear. How can the vicar be the cup mistress?
He isn't. He's the vicar. And Tarzan's Tarzan.
Oh, well, if Tarzan was sitting on the back row of the pictures with the vicar, I make no wonder he was going,
Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the highlight of the show, nay, the series. Yes, it's time to switch off and make yourselves a cup of tea. You should be safe to switch on again in about 3 or 4 minutes. Until then, here's Bert Whedon. Come on, lads, down the pub.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. Now we're going to have a little rock and roll with some boogie woogie. Let's go.
To the pinnacle of our performance. It's not very often that I can say that we've reached a pinnacle, but we have reached a pinnacle tonight. Not many people reach a pinnacle, but we have reached a pinnacle, and this is the pinnacle. Of all the pinnacles we have ever reached, this particular pinnacle is without doubt the highest pinnacle we have ever...
For crying out loud, the carol singers will be here in a minute. Get on with it, pal.
I was going to.
Good.
It's just that I feel very humble when we reach a pinnacle.
Look, just introduce whatever garbage it is we're going to do. Flaming pinnacle, this and pinnacle, that.
It ain't garbage, all that.
No, it isn't. It's a pinnacle.
Will you shut it and make the introduction?
Right. We are proud to present a stirring saga, the true life story of one man's fight against overwhelming adversity to become one of the most respected musicians in the world today.
Me.
Bert, me.
Whedon, you Wally.
Yes, Wally Whedon.
For crying out loud, Bert Whedon.
Thank you.
Bert Whedon was always destined to become a great musician. He was born with a banjo on his knee.
I was six before I could get my trousers on.
When all the other children were playing out in the park, what was the young Bert Whedon doing?
I'll tell you, he was sitting in his little room at home, practicing his guitar.
Bert was a natural.
He had a penchant.
He put a bread poultice on it and he was as right as rain in water. Let the great man himself take up the story.
Well, as far back as I can remember, I've always loved strings. I think I was the only boy in the whole world who could play Bye Bye Blues on a sprout bag.
Bert Whedon was a young child with an ambition.
On his fourth birthday, his father gave him an unexpected surprise.
He came home.
Son, your father has bought you a special surprise for your birthday.
That was the voice of Bert's mum. She was also a musical lady, and she had a bassoon.
Get that airy thing out of my kitchen.
She had a lovely voice.
She was a coloratura.
But she soon settled down in this country.
Tell us what your old man bought you on your fourth birthday, Bert.
A guitar.
Yes, a guitar. At long last, Bert had found the instrument that was to bring him international acclaim.
I was only 4 years of age when I picked up my first guitar. I practiced and practiced every day, week after week, month after month, until finally I mastered it and played for the very first time in public.
He knew that he was playing the guitar badly.
But he was determined.
He refused to give in. He was searching for the sound.
Every spare minute over the following years, I devoted to mastering the guitar.
At the age of eight, all those years of self-denial came to fruition as he picked up the guitar and played...
At the age of nine, he could read music.
And when I was 10, I could read other words as well.
The years of total dedication began. His search for the sound.
His determination to master the guitar knew no bounds.
He worked, he toiled, he slugged and sweated, learning the guitar until, at the age of 12...
With pride in his heart, he picked up his guitar and played.
Then Bert got his first break.
Just above the ankle.
A music lover from Scotland kicked him.
When Bert was 16, it finally happened.
That's got nothing to do with you.
Sorry.
Doubt was now setting in.
Had he chosen the wrong instrument?
Should he try something else?
The answer was yes. I went on to the harp.
Tell us what happened when you went on to the harp, Bert.
I drank 2 pints and fell over.
Then came that dreaded day which forever remains as a monumental part of the history of the world.
The darkest day of all. Yes, the public were firing at him.
No, no, not the public.
War.
War.
The young Bert didn't hesitate when the call came for able-bodied young men.
I put my auntie's frock on and served for 2 years behind the bacon counter at the co-op.
Oh, hark how the hero jests.
Bert decided to do what he could for the war effort by using his great talent.
Bert, is it not a fact that you went and entertained the troops?
Yes.
And you were given a medal?
Yes.
By the Germans?
Yes.
War ended and young Bert decided there was only one place where he could find success.
The musical mecca of the world.
It was what every budding young star dreams about.
And what a performance he gave.
I'll never forget it. When I finished, the whole audience stood up and said,
"Crackerjack!"
I've still got the pencil they gave me.
The really big break was just around the corner. One day, Bert was sitting at home when the phone rang.
Hello? Speaking? Yes? What? The London Palladium? Oh, thank you, thank you!
Yes, the greatest variety theatre in the world.
The London Palladium in London.
I finally made it. I've got to the London Palladium.
It was just reward for a life of total and utter dedication to his guitar.
A very nervous Bert Whedon walked onto the stage of the London Palladium in London.
The spotlight fell on him.
I was unconscious for 2 hours.
This was it. Bert stood centre stage of that famous theatre.
The London Palladium in London.
The years of hard work flashed to his mind. He wasn't going to let this chance slip by.
A packed house waited. Bert took up his guitar. He was going to prove to the world that he and he alone was the man with the sound.
It was the most nervous experience of my life.
Was this to be his moment of triumph?
Bert took up his guitar and he began to play. He played as he'd never played before.
Oh, no, that's...
Yes, the three of us, just for a while. Now we'll get back on our bike.
We'll see you next time.
Yes, we'll see you again.
So, tickety-tong.
Bye for now.
Satty bye and TTFN.
From the three of us, just the three of us.
There's me.
And me.
And him.
They always say an him. I never get a chance to say an him. I never get a chance to do it.
You have been listening to Someone in the Grumbleweeds, starring Graham, Morris and Robin as the Grumbleweeds, and me, playing a day, Bert Whedon as someone. The music was provided by Dave Collett, Perry Duke, Andy Marples, with lyrics by Jeremy Brown. The show was written by Eddie Braben, Richard Jones, John Brown, and the producer, Mike Craig. Now then, where's my playing a day book? Oh, here we are, page 1. Sell the guitar. Yeah.